It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Congress wants to make it harder to invest according to your personal values. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Congress has passed a bill to prevent retirement fund managers from considering environmental, social, and governance factors, or ESG, when making investment decisions. There's growing interest in ESG funds, which also monitor for such factors as board independence from management, whether a company promotes women and minorities, and environmental impacts. Critics say these prioritize political correctness over getting the best returns, but President Biden is expected to veto this bill. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
ESG investing has become a political punching bag, especially after the Biden administration's Labor Department issued a rule last November saying retirement fund managers can consider ESG factors when making investment decisions. The Trump administration had issued the opposite directive. Two Democratic senators joined Republicans to pass the bill that would go back to the Trump-era rule, Joe Manchin and John Tester. Manchin echoed Republican criticism of ESG investing.
I rise today to warn against our administration's unrelenting campaign to weaken our energy security, our national security, and our economic security to advance truly their environmental and social agenda.
Advocates of ESG investing say it's not just a way of doing social good, such as tackling climate change, but also a way of hedging against future risks. After all, climate change is here. I'm Nova Safa for Marketplace.
A huge factor in an investment fund's return are fees charged by the money manager, whether or not a portfolio screens for environmental, social, or governance criteria. Let's dig into the story that broke yesterday on the cost of insulin, the medicine that many diabetes patients have to take for life. Drug company Eli Lilly announced it's cutting the price of its most commonly used insulins by 70%, 70. It's also capping the out-of-pocket cost patients pay at $35 a month, both for people who don't have insurance and for people with private insurance, as long as they pick up their prescription at certain participating pharmacies. Marketplace's Samantha Fields has that.
Insulin can be prohibitively expensive, sometimes hundreds of dollars a month, even with insurance. Marta Woschinska at the Brookings Institution says the fact that Eli Lilly is capping out-of-pocket costs and lowering the list price for several of its insulins is a big deal for a lot of people.
For many patients that have either high-deductible health plans or patients who, instead of having flat copays, actually have coinsurance, well, the list price really matters for them because when they go to the pharmacy, they pay the list.
But Dr. Kavita Patel, a primary care physician in D.C., says these changes do not mean that everyone with diabetes who takes insulin will suddenly be paying less. For one thing,
everybody reads this and you think, oh, it's all the insulins, and it's not.
Lots of other insulin will still be just as expensive as ever. And two, Patel says, even for people who do take one of these now lower-priced insulins, a lot will still depend on what insurance companies work out with different pharmacies.
In all situations, I say, you know, consumer beware, because it sounds incredible. It is incredible, but it does not automatically translate to people seeing all of a sudden a flood of access or easy access to insulin at low cost.
But she says it is a step in the right direction. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
The loneliness epidemic. That's the way U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy has described a decades-long rise in Americans feeling cut off from the interpersonal connections humans need. Really, given all of our electronic connections from Snapchat to Facebook to Discord? But do our screens actually fight loneliness or make it worse? Today, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has the second of two stories on the economics of loneliness.
Two out of three adults in America report they suffer from loneliness.
Loneliness does have really strong deleterious consequences.
Matt Johnson teaches psychology at Holt International Business School and has written about loneliness for Psychology Today. He says it's correlated with heart disease, stress, anxiety, and the proliferation of social media.
When this need isn't met in your organic social environment, the market converges upon this. We see the rise of social media happening around the same time as this sort of loneliness epidemic.
Johnson says social media platforms can sometimes mitigate loneliness if they're used to foster real-life social connections.
Where you're actually getting in touch, you're keeping in touch with one another's lives.
That's the kind of social network Dina Hindi had in mind for her 84-year-old mother in Queens, New York. Hindi's father died from Alzheimer's several years ago. Her mother was left with few friends. Hindi figured,
there's got to be a lot of lonely people that are widows. So that's why I just created a meetup group to see if I can get people together.
A bunch of older women found Hindi's meetup group online. They now go out regularly in person to schmooze at neighborhood restaurants.
And you know what? The women in the group are very appreciative because they're seniors. A lot of people don't have any family. Even if this is not for a long-lasting friendship, it's just a good time.
Psychologist Matt Johnson says many people, especially younger Americans, turn to social media platforms that don't help with loneliness.
The more follower type of social media, where you're engaging with people with massive followings and you're looking at their TikTok videos, tweets, or Instagram content. You don't know them personally. You probably never meet them in real life.
There are ways employers can combat the loneliness epidemic, says researcher Ann Bowers at health insurer Cigna. They can reduce the deluge of 24/7 work online and help employees strengthen connections with family, friends, and community.
A healthy work-life balance for employees is very important, doing flexible work schedules and email blackout periods.
Bauer says employees who report they have a good work-life balance, social companionship, and satisfying communication at work are half as likely to be lonely as workers who don't. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
This is part of a collaboration with Call to Mind, American Public Media's mental health initiative. What to do about lonely employees? That's at marketplace.org now, if you missed it on the air yesterday. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.